A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed or crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. Blessed be God who refused me not my prayer or his kindness.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The word of the Lord lasts forever. What is the word that is living? It is brought to us through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Very often in theological discussion or discussions about religion, a question will come up. Why in the world did Jesus choose the time he did, the point in history, to come into the world? The musical, Jesus Christ Superstar even has one of the characters sing to Jesus, "Why'd you pick such a backward time in such a strange land?" From a modern perspective, it's a legitimate question. Every generation thinks the ones before is somewhat backwards. But it's not really a legitimate question if you think about it from a historical perspective, and especially if you consider the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In the unfolding of the history of Europe, of Africa, of Western Asia, that part of the world we call the Middle East, this is a time period in which Jesus came at the moment in which there was the very first time in history that so large a part of the world was ruled by one government. The Roman Empire was at its peak. There was relative peace throughout the area ruled by the Roman Empire, and it greatly facilitated the movement of goods, the movement of people, the movement of ideas from one place to the other. So it was, in fact, the perfect moment for Christianity to take root and spread throughout the world, guided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself told his apostles that they would be his witnesses first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and all the world. In other words, first in the city where he did most of his preaching, where he died, then in Judea, which is the southern kingdom of Israel, Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel, by then mostly non-Jewish but still related to the Jews, and from there to spread out to all the world. Jesus described exactly the process of the growth of the church he established. It's a process that's documented by the book of the Bible that we call the Acts of the Apostles. Now, as people of faith, we are called to be part of this process of dissemination of Christianity throughout all the world, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. We're called to testify by the way we live our lives. We are called to stand ready to give spoken witness when asked. And believe me, people will ask. In our first reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles today, we see Philip. If you remember last week, Philip was part of the group of the first deacons, the first ordination class, if you will, of the deacons. And he's traveling to Samaria. Now, this is the same area, if you will also remember, where a few weeks ago, Jesus met the woman at the well and ended up spending a couple of days there because so many people were believing what he was saying. First the woman and then her friends. Okay, so this is an area that's already somewhat preached to by Jesus. Philip has a great deal of success. So what does he do? He baptizes people. He baptizes a whole bunch of people. Now, baptism is the first of three sacraments of initiation into the Christian church. Baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. So he could give them baptism. Deacons can do that. What deacons can't do is give confirmation. So since he can't confirm them and they obviously are ready for it, he sends for Peter, right? So Peter and John come and they give confirmation to these people, this first group of mostly non-Jewish people. It was the beginning of the mission to go out into the world and make disciples of all the world, just as Jesus commanded. This mission is our mission as well today. The second reading that we heard today reminds us that we must stand ready to give our witness to anyone who asks about our faith. Now, maybe they start out with a little curiosity, noticing that we seem to have something they don't have. Maybe it's a hopeful attitude, the way we seem to go through the troubles in our lives and recover from them with hope. We're asked to give our testimony when they say, "What is it that you have that I don't?" We're also not supposed to be proselytizing when we give our witness. And by that I mean we're not supposed to be haranguing and yelling and shouting. It's supposed to be a heart-to-heart talk, one friend to another. Pope Francis harps on this a lot. He says, please don't proselytize because it turns people off. When I lived in Baton Rouge, it was at a time period when a certain rather well-known televangelist who lives there was at the peak of his worldwide popularity. And on a very regular basis, knock would come at the door. One of his people would be standing there. Good morning. Do you know Jesus? I say, well, yes, I attend Mass at St. Thomas More Catholic Church. And you could just see their faces drop and their demeanor would change. Why? Don't you know all you Catholics are going to go to hell? Here's a pamphlet that tells you why. You have a blessed day now. Kind of turns people off, right? Not going to convert anybody with that kind of attitude. Friend to friend, sharing our life story, sharing our faith. Peter, in the letter that we read from him, tells us to give our testimony with gentleness and reverence, imitating Jesus, who very meekly gave testimony to those who put him to death. Now, in our minds, imitating Jesus to this degree can seem impossible. But our gospel passage today tells us the plan Jesus had to help us to do exactly that. The passage we read today from John is part of a larger section that's known as Jesus' farewell discourse. The speech. It's John's version of the speech that Jesus gave at the Last Supper, telling the apostles what was going to come. He's also telling us who follow afterward in the reading of this gospel. He tells us that our love for him is shown by the way we follow his commands. And what were the commands he had given during his 3 years of preaching? Love one another as I have loved you. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself. We live this way because he told us that he was going to send us in the same way that his Father sent him out into the world to make disciples of all the world. And so here in this passage that we read today from John, Jesus says he will send another advocate, or a second advocate. He considers himself the first advocate. The word he uses in Greek is paraclete. And while it does mean advocate, it also means counselor. It also means guide. It also means defense attorney. You know, keep in mind that Satan is always listed as the accuser of humanity, right? So when Satan gives us an accusation, Jesus stands there as our lawyer and says, uh-uh. Remember? He's our defender. This second advocate that Jesus intends to send will continue the work acting as Jesus did, guiding the disciples, protecting them from Satan while they were being formed into the church, and to teach and advise them how to accomplish the mission he gave them. This promised advocate, of course, is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, whom Jesus and the Father are going to be sending in a very powerful way once Jesus' earthly mission is finished. The mission that Jesus had here was to fulfill the covenants made to the great patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so forth, so on. Because of those covenants, Jesus went about his earthly mission, often saying that his mission was only to the Jews. Remember the story of the Gentile woman saying, well, Master, even the dogs get crumbs off the master's table? That's what he was talking about. He was fulfilling the covenantal promises in his mission to the Jews. And once that was finished, the mission could proceed to the rest of the world. So when Jesus says in this gospel passage, in a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, he is in fact referring to the sending of the Holy Spirit after his ascension into heaven, a promise which will be fulfilled and which we will commemorate in 2 weeks on the Feast of Pentecost. Just as the Holy Spirit emboldened the apostles and the first Christians to proclaim the gospel by their words and actions in the face of truly scary opposition, so too does this same Holy Spirit embolden, guide, and teach us to do the same when we choose to follow God's command. You may have read recently, because it just happened this past week, I think it was, in the news, Pope Francis added to the list of martyrs in the Catholic Church 21 men who were not Roman Catholics. They were Coptic Christians. Now think back, I'm sure you all saw the video several years back. ISIS terrorists captured 21 Coptic Christians who professed their belief in Christianity despite death threats, and they were marched down to the sea and beheaded on video. Do you remember that? Those are the men. They were part of the Eastern Church. And so the Pope asked the Patriarch, would you mind if I add these martyrs into our list of martyrology? He could have done it on his own. Past popes have. But by being open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he showed an act of ecumenism, a chance to heal the rift in Christianity, a chance to undo the error that mankind had done. Guided by the Holy Spirit, over and over again, we see this. So let us remember, therefore, first, live lives of Christian love, and then ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us in our daily lives. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to guide us in our workplace, in our homes, in how we participate in our governmental processes, standing up for the truth when we must, and giving our testimony despite the sometimes scary opposition. Let us always remember to ask his guidance that others may look upon us but see Christ in what we do, that we can be his examples in the world, in how we move and live and have our being. And today, when our Lord is made physically present here at the sacrifice of the altar, let's promise and rededicate our lives to living his commands, following the guidance he sends through the Holy Spirit. Then just as we are amazed at how those who lived contemporaneously with Jesus in that backward time and place, so too will those who come after us be amazed at how we made it through such backward times. By the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. God love you.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible.